Church again. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Do you appreciate God and His grace to you? Has He been better to you than anybody in the world? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Why don't you take just a minute or two and shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play it, boys, if you will. This morning. Amen. He that was without sin became sin, that we who were sinners could become sinless. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Do you appreciate His grace in your life? He's the best thing that ever got a hold of you, I'll tell you that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request today. Brother Daniel, if you get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request. As I said last night, we're so glad to have some folks with us. Been gone for a while, Brother Charlie, Sister Chevy, back in Tennessee for, I hope, for the rest of their life. We'll just have to see how that goes. But we're certainly glad to have them with us tonight, this morning. God bless Brother Charlie, Sister Chevy, Therese. We missed them, didn't we? Amen. Brother Gene Littleton was with us last night, and I believe I see him back here with us again this morning. Brother Gene, God bless you. Glad to have you back in the service. Brother Gene had some heart surgery, and he said that the Lord had just really miraculously brought him through, and he's just so thankful for that. And also, Brother Eugene Kennedy, I don't know if he's with us this morning, but he was able to be in service with us last night. We certainly thank the Lord for that. And my brother, bless his heart, he's been gone for several days, several weeks in Louisiana and Arkansas, and a lot of you asked me about him, and he's back in service with us today. Bob, God bless you. Glad to have you in service with us again this morning. And for all of you that just show up on an everyday basis, God bless you. We're glad to have you here too. Give each other a nice hand this morning. I know it's impossible for all of you to be here all the time, but it sure makes it better when you're here. I'll tell you that. Our prayer request this morning, Sister Jan Hall says, please keep me in prayer for an operation on my foot on this Wednesday morning, that all will go well. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's just commit her to the Lord. She sends in another prayer request to please pray with me for the healing of two ruptured discs in my neck. So we certainly want to take those needs to the Lord. Brother Richard and Sister Christine Baker, both sick this morning, unable to be in the service. I want to pray for them. Sister Brenda Harmon wants to thank everyone for their cards and calls and visits for our sister's memorial yesterday. So we just continue to pray that the Lord would be mindful of that family. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray for my 2-year-old niece, Penelope Luna. She's been sick all week with a fever. Also pray for my father, Gary Manuel, having blood tests done. Let's just pray that all would be well on that situation. Asking the church to pray for my son, Daniel, who is in the med center with a severe stomach problem. Brother Terry Stockton sends that in, so want to continue to just hold him in prayer. Brother Roger Miller says to please pray for Buddy Tolley in Franklin Woods with lots of complications from surgery. We'll try to remove the breathing tube on Wednesday and possibly install a trach. Also seems to be in a lot of pain, so we certainly want to pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Cindy Hunt sends this in to please pray for Chelsea and Gus. They were in a terrible automobile accident last night and are both hospitalized with extensive injuries, broken ribs, pelvic fractures, punctured lung, and abdominal injuries. The baby is 18 months old. This is David's cousin's wife and baby. So certainly want to pray for Brother David Hunt's family there, that the Lord would just be mindful of them this morning. Please pray for Sherry Carver, my cousin. She has a brain mass and is facing surgery in the next few days. Sister Cindy also sends that in, so let's pray for that need this morning. Brother Dan Dyer says to please pray for my sister June in Knoxville. She's been in the UT hospital since Thursday with heart problems, so let's remember that need today. Also want to pray for Sister Cynthia Parker. She has some issues with her heart, unable to be in the service today, so we certainly want to pray for her that the Lord would be with her during this time. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, there's a lot of needs among us, but none of them too big for our Lord, is it? None of them too big for Him. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, this morning, Brother Daniel. If you'll come, take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests.
Amen. I was thinking about Brother Donnie preaching on Songs of Solomon. I never knew there was that much stuff in the Songs of Solomon. Amen. I often tell people I believe that Brother Donnie could take Jesus' Wealth and preach on it for a year. And never preach the same thing. But I appreciate my pastor. Amen. I was coming through Johnson City this morning, and I made the mistake. They was having a bicycle race, And I had to go around detour a little bit, and I was thinking about the race, and you know, there's only one person going to win that first place. But I believe that God's got a many-member body.
Amen.
Amen. And I hear a story one time about a high school boy that was in a race. He was in a foot race, and he was right at the finish line. He was almost certain that he was going to win. But he made one mistake. He looked back over his shoulder. And when he did, he lost his stripe. He lost the race. And you know, that's one thing we don't never want to do. We never want to look back. We want to keep looking forward. Amen. I believe that there's treasures waiting that's beyond compare. Amen. Let's pray for these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what you mean to me. Thank you for what you mean to this congregation, for this church. Thank you for our pastor, Lord Jesus. Thank you for our musicians, our Sunday school teachers, our deacons, our trustees. God, we're just so thankful for each one of them. Knowing, God, that you place them here, Lord Jesus, for a purpose. And now today, God, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. Heavenly Father, I pray for each knee. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you move for them. God, you know I can't remember all those names. But the one in the car wreck, I pray that you'll be with them, God. That you'll touch them, Heavenly Father. The one that lost their loved one. God, I pray that you'll be with that family. God, that you'll fill that empty place around the table with your presence. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you'll just take charge of this service. God, that you move upon every part of it. We pray, God, that you'll just bless our pastor in a special way. And help us, oh God, that we'll draw nearer to you more than we ever have before. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor with us in the service today, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. There was a, they may have corrected it on the board already. I haven't looked, but Sister Kayla Clifton's household shower, I think it was scheduled for this afternoon, has been changed till June the 14th, 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. That's next Sunday, and all are invited, so remember that. Instead of this evening, it'll be next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Let's sing a song. Let me make one more announcement before we do. Brother Michael said they're getting over at the pavilion, they're getting everything ready for Vacation Bible School, the ball courts. The restrooms, you can have access to them, but inside the pavilion itself, it's in quite a disarray right now. So remember that if you do go over there to take care of, don't mess with nothing. Just leave everything alone, but you can use the pavilion. Whatever you do over there, just go and do it. But leave everything under the roof alone. They're getting ready for, I think it's going to be the best Bible school yet, and I know they're all looking forward to it. Let's sing a song this morning. We've wore it out, but it's still the truth. He's in the house. Lord, we got three people that believes he's here. Rest of you, wonder where he's at, where you're at this morning. You believe he's in the house this morning. Is he in your house? Is he in this house? Give him a big hand clap of praise. Oh, praise the Lord. Wake up. We're going to have church here today, people. Look at somebody and ask them if they're awake. Now look at back at them and say, are you going to sing? All right, let's worship the Lord. Leave it all in here this morning. Don't take nothing outside. This is our playing field. We're going to leave it all on the field. Give God your best today. Don't slouch in here and want somebody else to do your singing, your praying, your worship. You do it yourself. You owe it to the Master. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping.
They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Thank you, Lord.
Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all this world to see.
In the house today? Are you glad you love him better than everything in this world? Does he mean the world to you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him another hand clap of praise this morning.
A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping.
They laughed at Jesus.
Yes, they did.
When he said she's only sleeping.
They're still laughing today.
As he took her by the hand.
Hallelujah.
She began to live again.
Yes, she did.
Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say.
Well, let me tell you something this morning before we sing that chorus. You come to Jesus, your old friends, they think you went off the deep end. They think you've lost it. They think you're serving a God. You're praying to a God that you've never seen. You're praying to a God that's far, far away. But they don't realize that there's light where darkness used to be. There's hope where you never had an ounce of hope before. I'll cast my lot with Christ this morning. I invite him into my house. I invite him into this church. I invite him into your lives this morning. He's the only person, he's the only being that can give you life eternal. Do you appreciate that with all your heart this morning? Sing a little girl again.
We were like that little girl. I was dead in all my sins.
Yes, we were.
But Jesus touched this heart of mine.
Hallelujah.
And gave me life again.
Hallelujah.
I know I'm just a house of clay.
Oh, yes, we are.
But ever since that blessed day,
yes, Lord,
there's a light that shines in me for all this world to see.
I want you to sing with all your heart. He's in the blessed be the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated today. Sister Lisa Cutts, if you'd come on to the platform, have a song from her this morning. I want, we have another song this morning. A couple little girls. Sister Lisa, you wait till they sing, if you will. And I had their names and a note written down here. Little Cheyenne and Victoria Clark. They want to sing the Battle of Jericho. I want them to come on. Are they upstairs yet? Are they in the room? Come on, girls. Give these little girls a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning. One of them, I don't know which one it was, told me last night, she said, I want to sing on the platform in the morning. So, wish granted.
Fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may talk about your men of Saul, but the men of Saul in the battle of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and the walls came a-tumbling down.
Sing his courses, Brother Donnie comes. Well, I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. Well, if I die, let me die in this army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in this army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Well, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army. I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. When I fight, I want to fight in this army of the Lord. When I fight, let me fight in this army. When I fight, let me fight in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Well,
Amen. Well, we got to be on somebody's side, don't we? It's up to you which side you want to be on. I'm glad the Lord allowed me to be on His side. I certainly wouldn't have made the right choice, for sure. He chose me, and I'm so glad for that. Let's turn today, if you would, to Genesis chapter 32, verse 1. I want to read two places from the Scripture, Genesis 32 and also Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Brother Jim Whitson had mentioned to me that Brother Gene Littleton was here today. Is he? God bless you, Brother Gene. God bless you, buddy. Sure glad to see you. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And the Hebrew word means two camps. Two camps. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Abinadab. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will we see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. I'd just like to let Hale know today, we are not standing here by ourselves. I'd like for the devil to know that every God called man that's preaching this word is not standing alone. We have a great heavenly host that stands with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you today on those two words, two armies. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have your presence here among us today. I wouldn't want to face this battle if you wouldn't go before us. Truly, Lord Jesus, the greatest thing we could be deprived of would be your presence. I've had my sight since I was born. I've dealt with many different blind people, and I know it must be a terrible thing to be able to lose your sight, to have it and lose it. If we would lose a hand or an arm or a leg, all kinds of things that we could lose in life that would be so difficult for us to deal with. But, oh God, the greatest thing that we could ever lose would be your presence from us. May we never do anything or say anything that would drive your presence from our midst. For without your presence in our lives, we'd be poor mortals like all the rest of the world, searching, hunting, looking for some source of satisfaction and peace. Our church without your presence would be no more than a lodge, just a place of society. But Lord Jesus, if we have your presence among us, then the lost can find Christ here. The sick can be healed. The bound can be delivered. Those that are in captive can be set free. So may your presence, I pray, always remain among us. Speak to us today from your word, would you, Father? In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Every army has tactical maneuvers that they use. They have generals, they have their institutes or their training courses by which they are trained to know how to battle an enemy. To me, one of the reasons that we are losing the battle on terrorism is because of our leaders and the way that they are viewing how to fight. They don't know how to fight terrorists. So they're trying to this and trying to do that and trying to do the others. If they would ask Israel, they could probably tell them. But, of course, we're the proud Americans, and we don't need anybody to tell us anything. But It's the same way in spiritual battles, that things that we fight, that I believe myself that we're living in the greatest hour that has ever been, both spiritually for the elect of God and in the realm of darkness as far as Satan pressing against the people of God in their homes, as we looked at it last night, their homes, their lives, their churches, their families, and all the different aspects of them as a Christian. And we know that in World War II that there were demons that were actually released which had been held for a certain season. Now, I don't understand the realm of demonology very much, but I do know enough about it to know that Satan doesn't have not one more devil than what he had in the beginning, which were angels which fell from the presence of God. But I do know that there are things in the Word to where they are held by restrictions of Scripture, by which they are unable to attack in full force until prophecy will allow them or release them to be able to do what they wanted to do for a long, long time. And no doubt the Jews have been an enemy of Satan for millennia. We know that. But yet they were not able to attack the Jews and do to them what they did in World War II until a certain time, a certain trumpet sounded, a certain prophetic utterance of God allowed them, and then 200,000 were able to come out. And they were able to anoint leaders, and it just so happened to be that the nation was Germany. We certainly have nothing against the German people, because many of them did not go along with what was going on, and many of them I know are saints of God. I've been there myself, and they still bear the blunt of that, and we should not blame them because it's certainly not their fault. But there was an anointing released upon a certain people in order to attack a certain people. Now, Jews are not the only one, of course, that were annihilated during the concentration camps. If you've studied the history of World War II, you know that there was Russians, there was many different types of people that were killed, but the main focus was upon the Jews themselves, which was the book of Revelation declared that a third of the people would be annihilated. 6 million, which at that time, according to the genealogical records, was about 18 million Jews. So a third of them were killed. And you think, why was it not allowed before? Nebuchadnezzar come in, surely he was a Gentile. He was a man that was operating under an influence. And yet, you know, God did not allow this to come on him. What about other men? What about Darius the king? What about Cyrus the Persian? Different ones, but it was not the time. It was like the timeline was held by Scripture. And you realize in the day that we're living, Satan would have loved to annihilate the bride from the very beginning, but God would not allow him to do so. And we can see as God would allow him to move over into the imperial power, as it was with Rome being the imperial power that was moving at that day. And there would be certain emperors that would raise up, and an anointing would move upon a certain emperor, and it would be in him to want to annihilate and kill these Christians. Yet another emperor would come in his place, like Claudius, and Claudius would come and say, oh, let them do whatever they want to do. It don't really bother me. If they want to worship a Christian God, let them go ahead and do it. That ain't no problem to me. So it was like God backed off that demonic power from allowing them to be able to annihilate the Christians. So as the Scripture says in the book of Acts, that the churches had rest. So instead of the pure power coming and annihilating basically all of them, that imperial power would come anointed by demonic influence, and it would kill and destroy, and my, it would just do horrific things, and it would run out to a certain thing, as the book of Revelation said, that this power will come against you and he shall kill many of you for 10 days. But that is a prophetic element in the way they measure time. This is under the emperor Diocletian. It was actually under a time frame of 10 years. It was not 10 days at all, but it was a prophetic utterance hid behind a symbolism of an increment of the measure of time. Now, prophetically, it said 10 days, but it was actually 10 years. Now, if God would have said 100 years or 150, 200 or 1,000, that's exactly how far it would go. So even though the demons would desire to destroy us, annihilate us, to cause us all kinds of problems and difficulties and all that, they are still limited by the divine power of God, which will only let them go so far. And for that, I say, thank you, Jesus.
Oh my, I cannot imagine. We fight battles and things that we go through as the people of God, but can you imagine if they were uninhibited at all? If there was no restraint on these demon powers at all, Brother Jim, can you imagine? My goodness, we wouldn't even want to get out of a bed of a morning. There'd be so much things that we would deal with, but it gives us such a, you know, courage and hope inside of our hearts to know that even though they are allowed to do certain things, that there is a restraint or a boundary by which the divine providence of God will never let them go beyond what he knows you can handle. Praise the Lord for that. Now, Satan, as he began to attack, and as we looked at some different instances last night in the early church, and the Corinthian church was established by the prophet Paul. It was a carnal church. Many, many Gentiles that were there. Some of them had been former prostitutes, male and female. Some of them had been former homosexuals. Some of them had been former idol worshipers. When you study the church of Corinth, most of us wouldn't even have shook their hands. They were terrible people. Absolutely had a terrible background. Look what Paul said. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were this. Some of you were that. But now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. So that's what they were. But remember now, the background of the Corinthian church and even of the Galatian church was that they were of a Celtic background. So they were formerly Celts. Now you say that has nothing to do with us. Oh, but it does. You see, our natural makeup and the star we're born under and the sign we're born under and the temperament, even the area where we live, there are things around us that affect us. Now, the Galatians were of a Celtic background and a Celtic makeup. Now, if you'll study the Celts and see exactly how they were and how they were able to so switch their loyalty on some of the things that was absolutely so small and trivial, you'd see why Satan used a certain thing against the Galatian church that he would not use against the Ephesian church. And he studied each of those churches to see which thing would do. And then he would dispatch certain demons of a certain mentality themselves and send them among them people. And then those demons would get among the people. And as I said last night, if we'd be able to physically identify every devil that torments each of you, or the devils that would torment me, and we would be able to separate them from the anointing that they pulsate from their supernatural being, and we could hover them all together and be able to attack them as individuals. It'd be so much easier for us to fight them. But if saints of God get under the influence of demons, say somebody gets under the influence of a demon that I don't like them, and then another person gets under the influence of the demon that Brother Louis don't like them, and that the church don't like them, and then another person gets under the influence, you know what, I'm not needed at the church. You know how that thing goes. I personally hope I'm on the committee that is able to throw that one devil that Brother Donnie don't like me in hell. I hope I get to kick him down in hell and let us watch his old hide go down them flames of fire. Because I've dealt with that all of my entire life and I hate that devil. But you see, Satan knows that is something that works on people. And it works twofold. It can work on the person that it's on, and then it will work on the minister that they tell it to, because he's in the dilemma of trying to figure out what in the world that he can do to be able to convey to them people that that is an absolute lie. And I found it out a long time ago, that when people get under that influence, I don't care what I do, there's nothing I can do to convince them until God sets them free from that spirit. Now come on, saints, don't get quiet already. So we realize then that we are dealing with battles whenever things will get among brothers. And many times Satan will use a business deal or a misunderstanding in a business transaction. And sometimes brothers are too trusting in that sense. And they think, well, we don't need to sign a document. We don't need to make a, you know, agreement. I'll just take your word for it. And 3 years goes by and you remember it this way and he remembers it the other way, which is exactly the way the devil wanted it to be. And then now you're fussing at one another. And you come to church and you sit there and you look at him raising his hands and you say, he's a crook. He's a liar. And he's looking over at you and say, he ain't nothing but a false accuser. You know why? Because you trusted to one another too much. Don't never trust this in anybody. Because this right here cannot be trusted. I don't care who it is. Preacher, pastor, deacon, trustee. All of us have mistakes in our flesh. We want to trust the word of God and the integrity of God's word. Now you see, Satan had studied the New Testament church. And I'd like to bring it to you sometime, the Lord will allow me. I took each one of those churches and set it out the history and set it out the major problems that was in each of those churches. Now, you know, you find that people today, they'll go to a church for however long, and then they become disgruntled. And, well, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. And they just go around. And many people have got a track record 2 miles long of all the different message churches that they've been. And you know what you wish that people could recognize is that there's something missing within themselves. It's why they keep searching. So they'll come to this church and that church and that church, wherever it is, and then they're there for a while and they live out the excitement. They live out, oh my, this great ministry, this great church. And then they find out that church has problems like every other church. And then the newness wears off of it. Well, here they're gone to somewhere else. Now Satan knows that, but everybody isn't that way. Other people, they go there, well, I'll tell you one thing, I've been in this church, I may not understand everything, I may not go along with everything, but I'm sticking with it. Well, Satan will never use that spirit on them, you understand? It would probably frighten us if we knew how well that the demons know how we are. They know our fickleness, they know our pickiness, they know our peculiarities, our oddities. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, my, they know exactly each one of us, and they know the diversity of what makes up this congregation. Now, we have many folks that's moved in here from various places, and you have different backgrounds and makeups, and many of us have come with different scars from different things, and all that is part of who we are. And I'm exactly the same way. So we have a diversity here of people who worship together, so Satan will diversify the type of spirits that he sends among us. Now, those of you that are of the original church that was over here years ago, and whenever I first came here, you know, as different people have come in, it has changed the preaching. It has also modified to a degree the makeup of our church. Well, that's not necessarily bad, but at the same time, you looked in on the counter opposite of what Satan is going to do. He must also diversify the tactics by which he will attack that assembly. Now, as you bring people in from different backgrounds and different makeups, and they're diverse from, say, some of the others that are there, then Satan must also dispatch demons that are not normal, regular sign-up guys for Happy Valley. So say, you know, you got this normal routine for Happy Valley demons, and you've got normal routine for Evening Light demons down in Down Brother Tim's church and all these different places. Well, when the congregation begins to diversify, then you'll find these different spirits that will come in, because that same devil that was on, say, a big majority of the people of Happy Valley, it won't work anymore because these people's totally different. And then you'll notice a peculiarity come in with it. These people have the ability to bring a positive thing, because maybe the Happy Valley folks, you know, have kind of got into a routine of they just worship a certain way and do a certain thing, and somebody else will come in and they're a little bit different. They're a little bit more loud. So they diversify in a positive way. They diversify the types of songs they like to sing and the way that they worship. It can be a blessing. But at the same time, with their coming, if they're a child of God, because they are different, they may have, because they are a target from hell, they will also attract another type of demons that will come, and then you begin to sense a thing in the church and say, wow, this is totally different than what we've sensed before. It's the coming of that saint of God that will bring the positive aspect to the assembly, but because their battles are a little bit different than yours, or their makeup a little different from yours, then Satan will also dispatch that demon which tormented them when they was at this church or that church or some other church, and then the battle will diversify in our own body. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, whenever that happens, if we as the soldiers of the living God are not aware of what is going on, then we will sense a little difference in that person, and we will tend to shun them because we feel that they are different. They got a different view from us, and a different makeup. They like different things, and they worship a little bit different than we do. Maybe they're a little bit more erratic than we are, and we just really don't care for that type of thing. But this is what I look at. I want everybody at Happy Valley that God wants here. That's who I want. If God wants everybody here today who is here, if God wants you to be in this church, then I want you here. If God wants 50 people from over here and 20 more from over here, that's who I want here. I don't want anybody more than what God wants, because we're going to have a hard enough time the way it is. Much less if we've got people sitting here that really don't belong here. But let me just tell you this. It's not my place or anybody else's place to tell you you don't belong here. You need to get a revelation from God and find out who your pastor is and find out where you belong to church, and not let enough devils out of hell to run you off. That's exactly right. Now, without that, any little thing comes up and you're ready to leave. Another thing comes up and you're ready to leave. Another preacher comes through that you like better and you're ready to follow him over here and that and that. You know why? You're not sure where you belong. You're not sure who your pastor is, and you're not sure what assembly you belong into. Now, that thing has always been around, of course, since the church was baptized into a mystical body. So you take these people of all these diversities of makeups. You got people of all different colors, all different races, because initially it was Jews only. Even in the Jews, you'd have a diversity of their makeup, but at least you would have them coming from a pretty solid religious background, whether there's a Pharisee, and a Essene or whatever, but still they had some things that was pretty much the same. But you look now at the Corinthian church, and you have people that were Jews, some that were former male prostitutes, some that were former female prostitutes, some that were heathens, some that were idols, some that were Celts, some that were coming from all different parts of the world, and now they're all into this same body, some of the Holy Ghost, some without the Holy Ghost, some are living a justified life, some are living a sanctified life, and some of them are born again. And you've got some that cater to a certain type of ministry because that ministry is more emotional, and they're more emotional. And then you've got others, they're more reserved. Well, then there'd be another ministry that would be a little bit more reserved, but they're all baptized into the same body, going to the same church. So how in the world do you do all of that? Thanks God. Just like we got them sitting right here this morning. Some of you like a fast preacher. Some of you like a slow preacher. Some of you would prefer a preacher with a remote so you could slow him down. Some of you would like rewind. Now say it again, brother. Say it again, brother. I'm glad y'all don't have my remote. But what is that? That's a diversity. But that's what makes us what we are. And God is a God of variety. God forbid that we would ever try to make this church to where everybody acts like me. Say amen. God forbid that we'd try to make everybody act like Jim Babb. We've got one Jim Babb. We don't need 500. We got one Donnie Reagan. We don't need 500. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. We don't need 500 like you. We want those that God wants, and with that diversity is the expression of who we are. Come on, saints. Now look, I've traveled the world, and I've been in many different cultures, and each one of them that you go to, they believe the message, they preach the message, but yet you see a diversity among them, and it's because of their background. You see the Chinese, you go to Latin America, you go to Mexico, or wherever it is that the message is there, and you'll see their own type of music, and it'll be very, very similar to whenever you go to the Mexican restaurant and eat dinner. Oh, you mean they all don't sing like us? They don't. Bless their hearts. You know what? They're still Latino. And God loves them that way. You go down south and you see the blacks. Some of you would think, dear God, they're dancing rock and roll. They're dancing to the glory of God with the immersion of their culture. Well, why, you mean God don't want the blacks acting like the whites? By no means. He wants them being the way He wants them to be. I myself wish we had a few more blacks in our church. A lot of the black brothers say that I'm a black man in a white man's body. But I really don't know what to do about that since my skin is the color that it is. But you see, God made it that way, and then Satan, once he studied the diversity, now remember, this diversity was not so much in the Jewish church near as much as it was in the New Testament church. So you got people coming from all these different backgrounds. So they bring in their former opinions and their makeup, even though many of them become born again. But yet they're still under a different makeup. So they think a certain way. You know, you could sit down and listen to people talk, and I study people. I enjoy studying people. Just listen to them. You're going to learn a lot about them. Just by listening to the way that they say certain things and the way that they view certain things. And then you listen to somebody else talking about exactly the same thing. And theirs is so different from that. And then someone else is so different. And yet they all love God. Many of them born again and they love the Lord. And you think, so God calls them all together, fills them with the Holy Ghost, and He makes them in a diversity of who His people are. But then Satan looks at that and he said, now I've got to do things a little different. I've got to be able to dispatch this demon here that worked against this certain certain man and that certain woman and this certain man. It won't work against this man here because he's so different. And this is why that we see the troubles in the New Testament churches. They would be so much alike in some ways and they would be so diverse in other ways. There'll be things that I'll have to preach here in this church that Brother Tim may never have to deal with in his church. There may be things that every other preacher may preach. And they think, man, why in the world is he dealing with that? Because there's demons assigned to this assembly to combat either you or somebody who considers this to be their home church extremes. And the Spirit of God is so mindful that he will go right toward them and speak what they have need of. And maybe another preacher say, I don't understand why that. Maybe some of you will sit here and say, I don't understand why I have to do that. Well, let me just join in with you. A lot of times I don't understand why I have to say it either. But I'll get an email from somebody or a text or a letter and say, you know, you said so and so and so and so 6 months ago. Well, of course I don't remember I said that sentence 6 months ago. But they said, you said that. It was exactly what I needed for the time. So what is God doing? God is taking that word and ministering because Satan has followed the diversity of God's program. Amen. Well, I'm not sure who all that was for, but man alive. Woo! Praise God. Now we'll get to where I started studying. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. Now, let us pick up this again and deal with some of these things that Paul was dealing with in the New Testament church. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. Now remember, this deed that we're referring to was a man which was having an incestuous sexual relationship with his stepmother. And Paul said he had judged it. So for those of you who don't feel like a man of God has a right to judge situations, you're wrong. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan. For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Oh my goodness. Now, you all went totally quiet on me. Now, can you imagine if I'd read this in a Baptist church? Or a Methodist church? I mean, probably a lot of them don't know it's in the Bible. But you understand why this is so foreign? Because people do not believe that discipline still should be in the church. And as we go on with compromises in the pulpit, it's going to be less and less and less. So to hear this read or even comment on, my goodness, it's just overwhelming to people to think that you actually think that people, look, Brother Donnie, I'm doing you a favor. Oh, quite the contrary. I'm doing you one by telling you the truth. You're not doing me a favor by showing up. You're doing yourself a favor by coming to the house of God. I'm going to preach whether the building's half full or third full. That's why you notice me. Whether it's on Wednesday night or Saturday night or Sunday morning, I preach no different. If half of you get up and leave and come back, three quarters of you leave, if you come back here Wednesday night and there's this many people, I will preach with all of my heart. Because I'm not preaching to a crowd. I'm not preaching. Well, I'll preach 100% on Sunday morning and then on Wednesday night I'll say 75. I'll preach 100% every time I preach. Because I know I'm going to stand before God. And I don't want God to look at me and say, how come you held back on Wednesday night? How come you held back on Saturday? And why did you just give your all on Sunday morning? No, sir. Amen. I may die of a heart attack in the pulpit doing it, but I'll give my best every time I preach or I'll quit. That's the way you ought to be. That's right. Now watch, Paul had judged this, and what's amazing is that the elders of the church would not discipline this individual. So this individual, now it's not a man that used to be in the church and him and this woman backslid and they got away from church. This is individuals that are doing this and they're still coming to church. And they're coming out in the foyer before church and everybody's saying, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, brother. Amen. Come up and sing us a special. Paul said, what are you doing? Why have you not already done this? Oh my. Give you a nickel for an amen. Amen. Thank you. Come see me after church. Now Christ has to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now what? This is a sex spirit. Now most people of the Corinthian church would have never done such a thing. But we don't know the background of this young man and of this woman. Whether his father had married a younger woman after his wife passed away, we don't know. Paul does not go into the particulars. But because the sexual sins were so great in the city of Corinth, this is why the sexual thing was so prominent in the book of Corinth. Now don't sit there and get all embarrassed and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't understand how children are made, ask your children after church. But why didn't Paul have to deal with this in the Ephesian church or the Galatian church? Why was this something that had to make the pages of the Bible a sin that was so filthy? A sin that many of the Gentile heathen scoffed at. And yet it got among the church. Now, can you imagine Satan? You imagine Paul's enemies when they said, hey, have you heard what's going on over at Happy Valley? Have you heard what's going over down at Evening Light? Have you heard what's going over here? Can you imagine Paul, the great prophet? The great prophet of God with such supernatural wonders, miracles, following his ministry. And look at the church he started in Corinth. Praise God. Now, Paul is relaying it to them that this sin is like leaven. Y'all know what leaven is. So he said that they were allowing this yeast of sexual sin to get in with the whole lump. Now, if this yeast was over here apart from the body and it was a sinner, it's not our place to judge them. But when we allow that sin to come in the body and knead it all together and mix it all up in the proverbial mixing bowl, then guess what? All of it starts to become affected. So he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. A lump without the sexual perversion. For ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now look in verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner with such an one. Don't eat. Don't have no fellowship with them. Well, I didn't say I'm going to have a fortune in amens time I get done today. Y'all take credit cards. Now he says when this is going on in the body, if it's out there, as I said last night, you've got children that live this way. Or you've got loved ones that live this way and they're not professing nothing about the Lord. That's a total different category. Oh, Brother Donnie, am I not supposed to get around my son? He's living with another man's wife. That's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about people in the church and just accepting them right in as brothers and sisters and saints and letting them fellowship and worship, and they're all part of the body. Paul said, what? Don't you see what you're doing by allowing that old leaven to come in there? You're gonna affect the whole lump of the whole loaf. Amen. Of course, you can see why churches today can't do this. Wonder how far we'd be able to find a preacher that's not affected by some type of something in his own walk. Many have been married twice, three times, whatever more, stand up and preaching, even in the message. Oh my, here we go. Come on, got deacons married two, three times, got all kinds of ill. Why? Because God is so desperate, poor fella, he can't hardly find nobody to preach no more. So God's lowered his standard so much for the last day, we'll just take anybody, not me. I'm sorry, not me. I'm not here to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth. Oh my. Paul said, for what have I to do to judge them that are also without? For do not ye judge them that are within? To approve, to determine, to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. And this is why I get in so much trouble. when I judge situations by the word. You know why? People don't want to be judged. So they want to go to a church where nobody judges them. I want to go to a church where I'm accepted for who I am and what I am. I don't want to be judged. With that attitude, you will go to hell. You'll be lost. If we are doing wrong, we must be judged. Not by opinion. Not by people's preference. By the word of God, friends. God has committed this type of judgment to the church. Hallelujah. Verse 13. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Paul is rebuking them because they have not separated themselves from this individual and made that individual leave the body. Now notice how he deals with it. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. Brother Donnie, don't we want sinners to come to church? We do. Can liars and prostitutes and all that sort of thing come to church? Absolutely. But if it's Christians that's living that kind of a life, that's a different thing. Are we to try to convert the unsaved prostitutes and make them quit doing prostitution? That's not what our job is. But people that claim they are Christians and live contrary to the word of God, it is our position at the church to give God's discipline. But you understand in the age we're living in, there ain't going to be hardly nobody that'll take that. Only the elect. Especially if you got more than one message church in the area. Because what they'll do is just leave that one and go to another. And you know what they do? They take that same spirit with them and bring that same leaven right there in that same body. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now watch, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, let's look at another tactic of the enemy. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. What a strange word that he chose to use for this verse. To be a retailer. To peddle. To make money by selling anything. To get sordid gain by dealing in anything, to do a thing for base gain. So what Paul is saying is, there are people that are trading in the word of God. This is their business. Like some of you brothers in aluminum and, you know, platinum and batteries, and some of you are trading services for money. You paint people's houses and you work on computers, so you're trading your time and your services for that work. Well, Paul said there are some that actually their trade is in the word of God. But the way they trade it is the way that they corrupt it. Now listen to this word. He said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So they are peddlers. And as peddlers were in the thinking, many of them, of the mindset. And I remember this time in the scripture was written, you did not go to Walmart. You didn't go and get a pre-bagged of flour and a bag of meal and a bag of this and that. In other words, it was already pre-bagged. But you would come up to a seller and he would either be in a market or on the side of the road. And he would have this meal and this flour sitting in an open type bin. Many countries of the world still have the same thing. So you would walk up and you'd come in and you'd smell that meal and you look at that flour, whatever it was. But little did you know before you had got there that that peddler had already got inside of that meal and diluted it down so fine that you could hardly tell it. But what he was doing, he was corrupting that in order that his profits would be more. So instead of selling you pure meal or pure flour, he might use a little bit of gypsum, which is white, ground up powder, which is basically non-toxic and small quantity intakes, but it would be able to make this stuff go a lot farther. The untrained eye would walk right up to it, smell it like that, taste it a little bit, but the content is so small that the average person would never know it. So here, Paul said there are people that are peddlers in the word of God. Now they'll take the word and then they mix in a little bit of their opinion on this and a little bit of their idea on that and a little bit of their idea on that, and then they stir it all up together and people sit there and say, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't this amazing how that Satan now is come under his true nature? Now, this is the persona of Satan himself. He loves deceit. He loves to get you to buy something. He's totally convinced you it's a Mercedes. It's a Volkswagen. This is his being. He loves deceit.
Yes, sir.
Oh my. So they corrupt the word of God by adulterating that word and mixing another substance in with it in order to make it go farther and make them more money. Now look at this. It means literally to sell in small quantities. To retail for profit, but especially applied to tavern keeping. And extended to cover all the devices by which wine sellers in ancient times deceived their customers. So then you go into a tavern of that day and you order something to drink. Well, little did you know that the man before you come in had diluted it down. What an example for a prophet to use in the Bible of a wine seller. But you know what? Paul knew that they would understand because no doubt some of them had been burnt. I'll tell you one thing, friends. When folks stand before God at the day of judgment, they're going to wind out. They're going to find out. It's going to be too late for many of them then. They're going to find out they've been sitting under a pastor that is nothing but a deluding compromiser. That he's diluted the word of God. What did it do? It takes down the power of the wine. It reduces the power of the wine. It don't have near as much stimulation as it did before. If you take it straight from the word of God, it makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. But if you dilute it down, then you make excuse for why people can't live right. And they drank it down. My, they drank in the barrelfuls because that's what they want to hear. The reason we can't live right if we can't is because we've not truly been born again. If you ever get born again and your old husband dies, there is no more desire in your soul to do wrong. Your body will make mistakes and your flesh will bother you as long as you live. But if that new nature by the new birth comes in that soul, there is no more conscience of sins. But a deluder, he dilutes it, so he waters it down. Children, God understands we can't live right in this day. You'd be surprised to know how many preachers in this message who preach that there is no Holy Ghost here today. Nobody has the Holy Ghost, and we're all waiting for Brother Branham to come back so we can all get the Holy Ghost. It don't matter how much Brother Branham would come back. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you'll never know nothing about it. No. I ain't waiting on Brother Branham to come back till I get the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost right now. I need the Holy Ghost tomorrow. I need it Tuesday. I need it Wednesday. I can't wait. I can't wait till the resurrection to get the Holy Ghost, Brother Dowell. I've got to have it now. To live an overcoming life, I've got to have it. So Paul likens preachers to tavern keepers. Well, if I keep a tavern, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want mine so strong it'll knock your socks off. If I'm going to be a dispenser of wine, I want to be so powerful that your feet will swell in your shoes and you may jump up and do a little, whoa! I want it to be so powerful it'll make you fall in love with your wife. It'll make you wise fall in love with your husband. It'll make you fall in love with one another. It'll make you pray for those that despitefully use you. It'll make you turn the other cheek. It'll make you a God called, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified, justified child of God that's every day victorious in this world. Hallelujah. In the day we're living, drink, brother.
I wish I could live right. God knows these old cigarettes and that old pornography. That's okay, buddy. To be honest with you, I'm bound by the same thing. Oh, buddy, God understands. God understand. One day these Winstons and Pall Malls will go flying out of our pockets when we go flying into the rapture.
So the preacher and the people said to him,
amen. Amen. Could I have some more of that?
Sure.
Well, now that we're talking about it, I've got a few more things I'd like to say too. Kind of been winking at other women.
Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody, but I have to.
Oh, drink up, brother. Cheers.
But you come to a place where a Holy Ghost man of God is giving out that genuine, unadulterated, hallelujah, wine of stimulation. And it sets your soul on fire. And you come out of that upper room like Peter and them did and said, this is that. That was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I'll tell you one thing, children. I don't quote that as being historical. I'm quoting it to you today. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. This is that. The same thing that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. The same thing that was in the book of Acts is right here this morning. Some of those tavern keepers, eh? A little bit of Paul Harvey. A little bit of the Bible. Chuck Swindoll, he's a great guy too. A little bit of Billy Graham, a little bit of Franklin Graham. A little bit of Benny Hinn. Let's go ahead and pick that up. And the people come in, they're saying, glory. You believe the message of Malachi 4? Malachi 4? Is that in the Bible? And they're drunk. They're drunk Laodiceans, but they're drunk on such a mixture of Trinitarianism, paganism, idolatry, demon powers, political power, social, what's the social world thinks. What's everybody on Facebook going to say? I really don't care. Brother Don, they're going to think you're nuts. They already do. Hadn't you already heard that?
But
for some of these folks in Corinth, they had actually begun to drink of some of this diluted stuff. Now what they do, they tamper with the severity of the word, and they will also tamper with its goodness. So when they pour in a mixture, they will affect the severity of the word. So reading scriptures like this, that's why they need a new version. That's why the gay community's had their own Bible written called the Queen James Version. You didn't know that.
Why? Because you got to do away with all them verses in the Bible that blast that thing.
Hallelujah. Mama.
So they mix a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they temper the severity. Oh, God's not that way. Didn't you know God got saved in the New Testament? He was mean as all get out in the old town. He whooped up on people and killed them and everything. But God got saved. God don't do harsh things like that no more. Ananias. Would you and Sapphira care to come here just a minute? And you, Elimaeus, the sorcerer who was smitten blind by an anointed servant of God, would you come here and give us your testimony? So I guess God had to get saved again in the New Testament because he went right back to his mean ways, huh? Come on, children. Oh, my. Notice he says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now let's look at another situation, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction.
Notice he said that I may seem
is if I would terrify you by letters. Now, what kind of preacher is this that would write such letters to some of the people in the church that they were terrified? Once again, I apologize. Y'all did not know this was in the Bible. You need to spend more time in your Bible, less time on Facebook. More time in your Bible, less time on YouTube and all this other trash. So you'll know what's being said, friends. That I may seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they. I do hope I'm sent there that day when they are sent to hell. I'd like to know who they are, wouldn't you? They've lived through every age. Well, who said it? I don't know. They did. They done this. They said that. Boy, it's going to be bad for them at the day of judgment, whoever they are. Now, notice what they were saying about Paul. Now, this had got among the assembly. He said, for his letters, say they, are weighty, which means grievous, metaphorically burdensome, severe, stern, violent, cruel, and unsparing. Well, I don't understand that. Because I've read every letter that Paul wrote numerous of times since I've been saved. And I don't get that at all. Do you? How many of you have read every one of Paul's letters? Brother Jim, did you get that? Severe, burdensome, cruel, hard? But this is what people were saying now about the prophet of God of that age. Not the Jews, not the heathens, not the infidels now, but people in the church that was coming to influence other people. Now they said his letters say they are weighty and powerful, strong, boisterous, violent, forcibly uttered, firm, sure. But his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Most of you would never say that about a prophet of God. But you know what them spirits that said that then? Ain't dead. Now let me read you a few historical accounts and we'll put them up here so you can read them with me. Chrysostom says, an historian, that St. Paul's stature was low, his body crooked, his head bald. According to Nicephorus, which you can tell is a Roman name, Paul was a little man, crooked, almost bent like a bow, with a pale countenance, long and wrinkled, a bald head, his eyes full of fire, oh my, and benevolence, his beard long, thick, and interspersed with gray hairs, as was his hair. So what little hair he had left, it was gray. Another historian gives this account of him. He had a small, contracted body, somewhat crooked, bowed, a pale face, looked old, had a little head, had a sharp eye. His eyebrows hung downwards. Any of your sisters interested? His nose was bent, somewhat long, his beard thick and pretty long, and that, as the hair of his head, had a sprinkling of gray hairs. Now you imagine a lot of these people have not been that far gone from the influence of the Greco-Roman Empire and from the great philosophers, Plato and all them different ones. So if a man, when he would stand up to speak, his appearance meant so much. So they was looking for a Rock Hudson, John Wayne type of a guy. And in comes this, glory to God, I met the Lord. And they're saying, you gotta be kidding me. This is a prophet of God. And you know what? They use it against him. So these people that moved in the church, now why would this work? Because it was an element of Corinthians that would fall for this attack. And those demons knew to attack Paul's humanity. But you see, the difference between Paul and the Judaizers was Paul used his authority to build up the church.
And the Judaizers used the church to build up their authority.
Paul used his authority not to be a bully or a tyrant, but his authority to make the church strong and to break up these demons that was around the church.
But the Judaizers had come in among the people and they used the people as their authority. Can I go on? Oh my Lord, the rest of you want me to quit? Oh my.
You realize how a Christian uses authority shows their maturity. A mature leader has to suffer much before he's permitted to say very little. An immature leader will say it quickly, perniciously, run ahead of the will of God, and do great destruction. No doubt Paul waited and waited and prayed and waited. God, do I have to write this? God, do I have to say this? God, do I have to do it? But he felt like he needed to say it. I'm so glad he did. Now watch, he says, let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Don't flatter yourself, he said, thinking that when I come there, I'll not burn your hide. My crooked nose, my bent back, my bald head, my long eyebrows don't change who I am. Paul wasn't a crooked nose or a long eyebrow or a long beard. He was a son of God ordained to stand for that word. That's exactly right. My. Oh, what's he doing? He's contradicting. He's wanting to believe it or not. He's threatening them. He's saying, if you don't back off when I get there, I'll prove to you in my bodily action I'm just as stern. Did he want to do that? Did he want to be stern? Their attitude demanded it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Let's look a little bit at what he went through. I read this yesterday and I sat downstairs going through this and I thought, dear God, I'm so ashamed of myself. What little bit I've went through, and yet I complain and I grumble. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Well, if God sent you, wouldn't God keep her from all them things? The Judaizers are bragging on how many people they've took from Paul. Paul is glorying God and how many times he's been thrown in jail. How many times he was beat. How many times he was forsaken. Lord Jesus. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. Do you understand that Paul walked from Jerusalem to Ephesus in Acts 18, verses 18 to 23? It was 1,000 miles. A 1,000 miles. It would have took him 3 months to make the journey. How is it that these people could turn on him? They got under the influence of demons. Were they not Christians? They were. They loved God, and no doubt many of them were corrected by the word. And they come back and realize what a terrible mistake they had made. Why? They didn't know how to fight demons. Demons, they think when they walk into Walmart, a woman got, you know, indecent dress and somebody, you demon out of hell! That's what they think demons are. That is part of them, but that sure ain't all of them. Mine journeyings often in perils of water, which was when they would transverse across the country and the rivers would raise in the floods and Paul would be washed away in the torrents of the flooding rivers. Why didn't God protect him? I thought the Bible said he sent his angels to watch over you.
Unless you dash your foot against the stone at any time. You think the devil didn't fight him like he fights you when you go through things? And the devil said, if you're a son of God or you're a daughter of God, how come you go through this and that? Don't you know he was a man like we are? In journeyings often in perils of water, in perils of robbers. You mean to tell me God allowed this servant to be robbed? Friends, where do we get all this? Our life is going to be free from trouble. When you get down on yourself, come back here and read this. In journeyings often in perils of waters and perils of robbers and perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. And the crowning of all of this was this peril. In perils among false brethren. Now can you imagine when he traveled? There was no 100% guarantee he wasn't going to be flooded over by water. No 100% guarantee his boat was not going to be sunk and him hang on the side of a piece of wood. That robbers would come to him and take the offerings that the people give him to buy his meat and all that sort of thing. No promise from God that he'd have peace in the city. The only place that he knew that was left where he could have peace, Satan had actually moved in there. And that was the church. The only place left on the earth where he could go, physical place, and be able to feel like he had some peace and contentment and satisfaction. And Satan said, I'll take that from you too. And this is what I'll use. False brothers. Lord, children, how in the world can we face such demons? How can we face such a being as Satan who's done this for thousands of years? There's only one way. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our intellect, he's smarter than all of us. God said about him, he's wiser than Daniel. Wiser than Daniel! If Daniel could not smart him by his intellect, I know I can't. But if the Holy Ghost in me will lead me, we're more than a match for him. Can you imagine that this, the safest place that he felt like he had left, and he begins to hear from this safety place, Satan has sent in false brethren. Now you know what? They would have never been called brothers if they had not went a long way to act like they believed what was being said. If it was somebody that come in on a Sunday morning, you never seen them again, or somebody come, you know, once a month or three times a year, they'd never be classified as a brother. These men must have went a long ways. They must have went a long way in seemingly being able to convince the other people that they were right with God. Can you imagine Paul mentioning all these perils, and then he crowns it with the most horrific one of all. Paul, wasn't it worse when you was in the sea? It was not. We talk so much about abuse in this day. I wonder if you folks have ever considered the thought of preacher abuse. Not the preacher abusing people now. That is certainly true. But the people abusing the preacher. I just read to you the classic example of preacher abuse. And instead of the saints in these churches standing with him, some of them turn their back on him. Paul said, if I become your enemy, because I've told you the truth. And then demons had come right among the people and began to whisper. Oh my. A man can better bear the damage of a raging torrent. He can better bear the damage as a child of God. Of a shipwreck, of perils in the sea, perils in the deep, than it can someone that you have confided in, a brother or sister that you've trusted, and they've turned their back on you. We've all been there, haven't we? You know how painful it is, how hurtful that it is? Certainly you do. What did they come for? Oh my. The very climax of Paul's dangers. Notice in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger. Now wait a minute. I thought David said he had never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Here is an apostle of God that actually suffered hunger. We all know what hunger is, don't you? If I go talking about it, y'all get up and leave right now. Getting close to dinner time. But can you imagine being a prophet of God and you actually suffered hunger? Most of us have probably been very fortunate. There have been very few days of my life that I've went hungry because I had no lack of food. It might not have been something that you'd like to eat, but it was food. Whenever we traveled in the tent days, we lived basically on what people brought us. Me and Carol was up in a tent up in Kentucky one time, sitting in a tent. We were staying with the tent. Me and Carol stayed outside in a pup tent, 5 or 7 pup tent. That's where we stayed at night. The food we ate was what people brought us by. And if they didn't bring us nothing by, we ate a hamburger. And at times we'd divide it. But I can't say that I've ever went hungry long. But can you imagine this man saying, God, I've lived for you. I've served you. Can't you at least protect me from these floods? Can't you at least keep me from nearly drowning in the deep? God, would you please speak to somebody's heart? See if they'll take me out for dinner. I've been in wonders. I've been in peril. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Lord Jesus. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Poor God. And there were people in that day that thought he didn't love them. People in that day that had actually sided with Judaizers against this man. Let's close. This is the right place. Let's just bury it. Lord Jesus. While the Judaizers were boasting of their converts, how many people they had pulled away from Paul, had they been able to mar his testimony and run his name down. We don't find any place where Paul ever really told how many his ministry led to God. Paul never kept a chart or a record to say, well, I led so many, I led 30,000 over here and 15,000 over here and 12,000 over here, and so many was healed over here and so many was healed over there. But it's amazing when you go looking at the records that Paul kept, and the amount of times that he kept up with things. It was how many times he was beat with rods. How many times he was whipped. Lord Jesus. God forgive me. He looked at this as a spiritual blessing. Not a thing of bereavement. That God didn't love him and God didn't care for him. Lord, children. May God help us. We sit here today as an army. And that's that which we can see. But there is another army among us. An invisible army. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Whatever you're going through today, you may feel like God's completely forgotten you. I tell you what I'd like for you to do. After church, maybe you don't want to do it now, but after church, it seems you get back home, I'd like for you to read this. And compare what you've been through to what Paul went through, and then see who should feed the one that feel like they were forsaken. Did Paul turn his back on God? Well, I ain't going back to church, no, I'm just forgetting it. God, if you can't take care of me no better than this, then why should I even work for you? But he kept right on going until he laid his head down that day on the Roman chop block, and they severed his head from his body. And whenever he comes up to that, he does not say it with regrets, but he said, I've fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith. I finished my course.
He wasn't complaining, grumbling, griping. Oh my. Lord Jesus. How many wants to be a better soldier? I do. Oh, I failed him so many times, children, in fighting battles. Ain't you? But I want to be a better soldier. Lord, I pray today, first of all, I want to ask you to forgive me. Lord, I've complained over having to preach things I didn't want to preach. I've complained, Lord, over so many things. Forgive me. Oh God, I pray. Who am I that I would have a right to tell the potter, don't make me this way. Don't make me that way. I'm sorry. The little things that I've gone through in this life are so small compared to these passages that I've read today. Much less what other heroes have gone through and what you yourself went through, Lord Jesus. Help me to be a better soldier. Help me, Lord, that whenever I have to deal with people, you know how it is sometimes, Lord, that sheep become stubborn and hard-headed. And a pastor is forced to talk to them in a way that it breaks his heart. But he'll always be the one that they'll make to look like the bad guy. It's part of it. I know it's part of it. Same with these saints. They try to be a witness, try to live a right kind of life. And if there's anybody at work that the devil will try to attack, it'll be them. Other kids go to school and this and that and other. If there's anything that'll be attacked, it'll be our kids. We ought to take it as a compliment, really, that hell looks at us as being in the army of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, strengthen us today, I pray. You see our church. You see the diversity of our makeup. There's been enough people come and go out of this church to fill several churches bigger than this one. But Lord, I said it to them, I say it to you. You know my heart. I want to only hear who you want here. If before we go on the rapture, it's down to 50, and that's your will, that's perfectly fine with me. If you want 5,000, whatever you want is what we want. I'm not interested in a following. I have no motive, no objective, Lord, of seeing how many people around the world can follow me and hook up to my website. And I have no desire for such a thing. I do want to be a better soldier. If I can equip your saints where they can learn how to fight. Give me wisdom, Lord, because a lot of times whenever I talk to them, they already know more about it than I do. So it makes it so hard for me to try to talk to them when their mind is already made up. But help me to be like Paul, Lord, that I'll keep persisting. I'll keep talking. I'll keep praying. I'll keep trying to lead them. And a real leader, a real mature leader, as he uses his authority, matures more. And a real mature leader leads people along with him. Hallelujah. But someone else who has authority, they'll leave a trail behind them of havoc. One true sign we know, Lord, of a false prophet is he goes in and takes sheep away from another servant of God. It's always a sign of a false prophet. They never go in and start works and establish works, but they go in and pull away from others. That's what Paul was dealing with, these false brethren. Like to broke his heart, but somehow you gave him strength. Amen. Lord, there's boys, girls, men and women sitting here today whose hearts have been trodden upon by people. They've been let down by the husbands or wives or children or whatever more, maybe even pastors, preachers. Help us today, Father. Bring healing to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. So if you folks were looking for a pastor and you hear about this man by the name of Paul, and he's, you've heard he's a great preacher, kind of ugly, bent over, short, not much to look at. And the Deacon Brothers and the Trustee Brothers, y'all get together and you decide that you're going to let this man, you'll kind of try him as interim pastor. But you think, well, maybe he could give us a little bit of his background and where he's been and some of the things that he's done so we'd kind of know where he's at. And this is what he writes on his resume. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Would you need to go any farther on the resume and say, this guy sounds like to me he's a troublemaker. How could this be a servant of God and God allow him to go through so much stuff? But if you read a little farther, he went on to say, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, those things which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. In view of all of these things that I submit to you, Happy Valley, I would be glad to come and serve as your pastor if you would want me to. How would you vote? Would you want a man like that? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's the way you'd vote. It depends on which army you're in. If you're in the army of God, you'd say absolutely. Absolutely right. I cast my vote. I cast my vote. What if he said, I've never caused any trouble. I've never been in any churches where anybody got mad. Nobody's ever got upset at me. I never preach on clothes. I never preach on music. I never preach on worldliness. I never make anybody mad. Honest, everywhere I've been, you can search my record. I've preached thousands of sermons and nobody has ever got angry at me. He said, wow, now that's the kind of guy I want. You need to get the Holy Ghost. Because that guy will damn your soul to hell. And he'll go with you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, children. Don't you want to be on the right side? Can you imagine when we stand before God that day and men like this stand there? Brother Jim, we think what little bit we've gone through. But tell you, how will we stand before men like this? They say, Lord, have mercy. Saints of God, not only preachers now, but women that were burned at the stake. Their bellies cut open and their babies pulled out and they dashed their brains against the stone and let the woman lay there and bleed to death and die. And the things we go through, we complain and grumble and gripe about it. We need to realize we're not on a picnic. God never promised everything would be easy. We're in a war. A war. And in war, we are going to suffer. Don't you love him today? Oh, I thank you for this sermon today, Lord. I thank you for this sermon. I so needed it myself, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. How many needs the Lord to minister to you today personally? Would you just raise your hands in his presence? Sing that song for us here. Maybe you housewives, mothers, fathers, young people, whatever you got, whatever your need is. It'd be so diverse, as I said at the beginning of the service. We're such a different people, each of us. But the Lord can custom fit it today to be able to go exactly to what you have need of. Why don't you call on him while he's here today? Amen. You believe he's here? You believe his presence is right here among us? Well, I want you to just think for a few minutes before I let you go. And you go for your dinner. Oh, glory to God. People's lives can be changed right here in the next few moments. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you have need of, just open your heart right now in the presence of God. Oh, Jesus, visit us, I pray, Lord, with your presence. We don't ask
Lord God, for necessarily a great rushing wind. If you want to send that, that's fine. But we don't need that. The building don't have to shake beneath us. Lord, the window lights don't have to bust out and a great thunder and a great clap come through here in order for us to know that you've been here. Lord, you can do us like you did Elijah. That still small voice that speaks down inside our hearts. Child, I love you. I've been with you the whole time. I'm mindful of what your son, what's going on in his life. I'm mindful of what's going on in your family. I'm mindful of what's going on in your job. I've never forsaken you. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. May we feel as it were your arms, even though we're a mighty army. Yet, Lord Jesus, we still need to feel our Solomon as he comes to our table. And he spreads the banquet, the banner over us. And it's the banner of love. We need to sit in your presence and refresh. Hallelujah. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting confiding in his great love. Today, what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Lord, I know this. Over all my shipwrecks, all the flooding rivers of my worry in vain. Let's sing it. I'm living by faith. Trusting, confiding in his great love. Yes, Lord. For all I'm saved in his sheltering arms. Living by faith. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, the tempest may blow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, Lord. We bless your name, for you are worthy, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We magnify your name. We exalt you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Can we just lift our hands and give him a little bit of loving before we go? I'll let you go just momentarily, but before we do, I feel he's deserving of it. He's worthy for sure. Just close your eyes for just a minute. Amen. Oh, don't just thank him for what he's brought you through, but thank him for the complaining that you done when you was coming through it, that he didn't get mad at you and get all upset at you. I'm not just grateful for all that he's brought me through, but I'm glad he didn't cut me off because of my complaining or my grumbling or, Lord, why does it have to be me? I wish it wasn't me that had to preach this way and that way. And oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he understands as a mortal? Aren't you glad he understands whenever we go through these things? Amen. Praise be to God. We worship you today, Jesus. I'm so glad of all the things that you become. I'm so glad that you become a man. I'm so glad that you become a man. And when you become a man, you even uttered that three-letter word that we do. Why? Why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for becoming a man to know how we feel. Oh, Jesus, forgive us whenever things come our way and we don't understand it and it breaks our hearts. Forgive us for complaining, and thank you for understanding, Lord. Lord Jesus, praise your holy name, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Are you down? You still want to love him a little more? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Children, let me speak to you from my heart. I love you today with all of my heart. I know when I come here, I was a young man. And now I'm an old man. And I realize I don't have the vitality and maybe the strength and this, that, and the other that I had when I first come here. And if you folks are getting tired of me of being your pastor, and there's a younger fella or a guy with more wisdom or whatever more that you feel like you'd like to have, I will certainly step aside and let whoever you feel would like to be your pastor. But there's one thing I know. You could find men more witty. You could find men with no doubt more wisdom. Maybe one man who's preached longer had greater experiences. But you will never find a man that'll give any more of his life and his time than what I give to you. My strength is gone. My youth. I realize if the Lord tarries a few years down the road, it'll come to a spot. Brother Louis will have to step down. He'll get so old, he won't be able to remember nothing. Harry, oh, he's already there? Okay. I'm going to need to look for somebody else. Harry will get to the spot. He won't be able to find C and G. And we're getting an age in church. That's right. And I'll finally, if the Lord tarries, a few more years. We'll be 59 here in a few weeks, me and Carol. A few more years added on top of that, I get to a place, I won't be able to think of it. I won't be able to recall it. And the anointing will wear me out more than it does now. There ain't no way in the world you can imagine how I feel when I leave here on Sunday evening. And I'll finally get to a place, I'll just say, you know what? I don't think I can do it no more. I love y'all, and it ain't nothing against you all, but I just don't think I can do it. But you know what? If the Lord tarries, there'll be somebody ordained of God to step right in here, step right there, and 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 right there. There ain't none of us that's not replaceable.
I don't care what you do here in this church or how important you are. Every one of us are replaceable. From me on down. And if time goes on, we will be replaced. But while I'm in this place, I want to do everything I can. Amen. I want to do everything I can for the kingdom of God, for the economy of God. And if I've ever offended you, me, if I've ever offended you, if I've ever given you wrong advice, if I've ever given you wrong counsel, if I've ever done anything to you, me, I ain't apologizing for truth. But if I've ever done anything to you to hurt you in any way, I ask you to forgive me. And know this, I have never one time in my life ever preached a sermon to deceive one person. I have never premeditated any sermon to try to figure out how to deceive somebody. I have never given anybody counsel in any time I've ever talked to people with a premeditated value to try to lead them astray. But as a human, no doubt I've made lots of mistakes. And I've got lots of marks against me. But somehow I can't keep from believing I got a lot for me too. Just like you did. So what do you say? We fight like never before. We rally. Not fighting each other now. And even if we have to deal with a situation in our home, our family, our church, remember, we don't want to deal so much with an individual, but with the spirit that the individual has got under. Don't hate the person. Brother Bam tells us, Christ the mystery, don't hate the person. Satan will send somebody among you, shoot them full of poison, and they'll sit there forever so long, try to send something to the church. But he said, don't hate them. Pray for them. We want to hate the evil spirit, not people. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. That sermon, that was free of charge. It was just an additional something there for you. Amen. Lord, we love you so much today. Thank you, dear God, for this time of being able to come together in fellowship again. Lord, I love you and I love these people. And I know they love you and they love me and we love each other. Lord, we've made so many mistakes, no doubt. No doubt as a leader, I've made so many mistakes. And Lord, I'm sorry. I've never preached a perfect sermon. I've got up and misquoted things or quoted scripture wrong or said, Brother Bram said this in Shreveport when he said it over here and all that. Lord, it's hard because I'm a perfectionist. I know I ain't never preached no perfect sermon. But Lord, I haven't done it to try to deceive or hurt or lead astray. So I pray you'd take our mistakes. These song leaders and special singers and musicians. These lay people, all of us. We've made our mistakes and our shortcomings. But it's not our intention to lead nobody astray. Deceive nobody. Lord Jesus, we want to fight until our life is finished. Or the rapture comes. Anoint us with faith, with your strength, that we can leave here today as a people more in love with you and more in love with each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the saint said,
amen.
I love to hear you say that.
Amen.
That's not a Pentecostal thing. Brother Bram says, Hattie Wright said the right thing when she responded. That's why I want you to respond to the word. It's not a tradition that I need amens to preach. It's for your benefit before the angelic host that you're saying, I believe what is being said. So let's just sing it as we go. Amen. Praise God. We'll be gathered here again, Lord willing, Wednesday night. For those of you who can come, we'll be looking forward to see what the Lord has for us. I've already been studying for it. Oh, my, we've got some absolute outstanding things to look at Wednesday. So just come if you can. And the church said, amen.